People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
This is People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. Today on the program, offering the university experience and a sense of belonging. The Uni 101 program at UVic brings free academic courses to people who've experienced social and economic barriers. With applications open and the upcoming semester right around the corner, we'll get the scoop on Uni 101. Welcome to People First Radio. September is fast approaching, and there's about to be a buzz in the air at university campuses all across the country. A program at the University of Victoria is making sure people marginalized by poverty, mental health issues, or other economic and social circumstances are able to take part in the university experience. Called Uni 101, the program has been running since 2006. It studies the humanities and social sciences from ancient Rome to modern advertising, ethnobotany to psychology, with topics taught by UVic professors. Tuition is free, and the program also looks to break down barriers by providing meals as well as bus tickets and childcare to students who may need them. On today's show, we'll be learning more about Uni 101.
My name is Chloe Wiesenthal. I am the program assistant for the University 101 program, and I have worked here since, on a part-time basis at first, since September 2019, and then I was lucky enough to be hired full-time a couple years ago.
And my name is Stephanie Sweetnam, and I'm the program coordinator for Uni 101, and I've been working in the program for almost 4 years now.
Who is the ideal Uni 101 student?
So the ideal 101 student is someone who's always wanted to access education, but for whatever reason, hasn't had an opportunity to. So we say that we're a program for marginalized folks who face significant and often systemic barriers to education. So whether that is financial barriers or institutional barriers, whatever it is, that would be the ideal student.
And what's maybe the sales pitch? So what are the kinds of things you're sharing with people? What are the kinds of things you're talking about? This is what we're going to be learning in the course, and this is why you should check it out.
Yeah, it's hard. Usually the spiels that we give last a couple minutes, because there is so much to our program and so much that we offer, and also that we gain from the people in community with us. So, oh gosh, and please jump in, Stephanie, if there's anything that you think is important to mention. We offer a collaborative, ideally non-hierarchical community of learning. We value what the students bring, their knowledge and their lived experience, just as much as what the instructors or what the staff and the facilitators bring to the course. We believe that all of that knowledge is valuable. So that's the first thing. We offer a community where no matter what background you have, if it's, you know, academic, we don't care if you've graduated high school. It doesn't matter at all. We really value what students bring. We like to have a community of belonging. At the beginning of our class, we have what's called a seminar, and that's mostly with program staff and volunteers and the students, where we do a lot of critical thinking. We do a lot of creative writing and reading. We work in small groups and engage with the readings the instructors have provided, and or just engaging in like what it is to learn. Then we have a dinner in which we provide all of the meal vouchers for students and volunteers. And then after the dinner portion is the lecture. And so every week is a different topic. There's different instructors from the university or outside the university who come to teach about whatever they want to, essentially. So usually the lectures are pretty exciting because the teachers are really excited usually about what they're teaching about.
Could you give me maybe some more insight on some of the topics that get covered in the course each year?
Generally speaking, we focus on the humanities in the fall and the social sciences in the spring, but we have everything from like geography to intersectional feminism to philosophy to music and English poetry. And yeah, we just have a wide array of instructors who volunteer their time and come and teach in the second half of class. And it's a different, as Chloe said, it's a different topic every week. So it's really exciting for both the instructors, who often say it's their best teaching experience of the year. And it's also really fascinating for the students who are just so curious and ask the best questions. And after every course, every instructor comes up to me and is like, just blown away at the questions that the students ask. And they're really thoughtful input and comments. And it's a really amazing little community.
I know one element of the program is that people get to share a meal together. Can you tell me about that aspect of it?
In terms of building community, something like nourishing each other, eating together is a big part of building community for us. And that's also a barrier that people face when thinking about going to school for 5-4 hours at a time in the evening. So it's really important for us to address that barrier. And so we have coffee and we have snacks and we do something called coffee hour before class starts. And we have stuff for people to munch on throughout class. And then most importantly, we break in the middle of the first half and second half of class and all go to the cafeteria together and eat dinner.
Yeah, I'm curious about that idea of like doing that intentionally together. And it's not necessarily just, I don't know, like here is a voucher to go off by yourself and get something. Like, what do you see in the community? It's something that I almost think like, oh, I wish that when I was in university, I got to go and like have an intentional meal with my classmates. I feel like that would have made the experience much nicer. Is it like I imagined it would be? Does it kind of unfold that way, that you see people making these connections in the cafeteria over that shared meal?
For sure. A lot of our students have become friends through sharing over mealtime. And then as staff members, you know, while class is running, we're kind of focused on whatever the topic is or whatever the exercise is. But at dinner time, we get to learn more about the lives of our students and they really open up. And we create these beautiful relationships because we're eating together twice a week between September and April. So it is really beautiful and special. Some other things that we do to support, which we haven't mentioned, we offer bus tickets for students or parking passes if they drive. We also offer all school supplies, so pens, pencils, highlighters, binders. We print readings, notebooks. We have childcare subsidies and often can get other subsidies if someone has like a specific need.
Oh, and if I could just jump into on top of what Stephanie is saying, we also recently, as of the last 2 years, have provided audio recordings of all of our readings too for folks who it may be inaccessible to have the physical printed reading or on the computer. That is something else. And this isn't necessarily an additional thing, but in the conversation about limiting barriers to education, we also don't have any homework or assignments. We want it to be as stress-free as possible and have learning be an exciting thing rather than, you know, in a lot of education institutions and academia, it can be not stress-free. It can be very intense and stressful and hierarchical and feel, you know, somewhat oppressive, the systems and how they present education. So that's just another piece.
You're listening to People First Radio. We're talking about the Uni 101 program at the University of Victoria on today's show. It offers free non-credit academic courses to people whose economic and social circumstances normally pose obstacles to university education. Craig Ellerman is a former student and newly minted staff member with the program.
Hi, I'm Craig Ellerman. I am now a program assistant at the University 101 program at UVic.
And I understand that you came to the program first as a student. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Way back in 2009, I was staying at the downtown Victoria Salvation Army men's shelter, and I wasn't in too good a state of mind, and I saw a poster up on the bulletin board advertising information sessions for the Uni 101 program. And I looked at it, and at first I thought maybe this is a hoax. It said free tuition, no grades, and it looked like an opportunity just to learn for learning's sake. And then I went to the information session that was closest to me in downtown Victoria. And then I found out, I jokingly thought that, well, this is actually beyond free because they supply a meal and all the school supplies and bus tickets and whatnot. Yeah.
So that was 15 years ago. What has kept you involved with this program through all of that time?
I think number one, the sense of belonging in a community. Yes. We really stress the community environment at the University 101, but it was a place for me to, I was going through quite a mental health crisis. That's why I ended up at the downtown Sally Ann in Victoria. And that's pretty much what keeps me going. Yeah. Sense that a part of something really, really good, really, really positive for people.
Okay, so you see this poster, you say, can this be right? Is it real free tuition? You go to the information session, you find out, like, oh, not only does that sound true, but there are also, meals included as part of the program. What happens from there?
Well, I was accepted into the program. So I started in September of 2009. And haven't really looked back. I like to joke to people, I'm like a bad dad, I just won't go away. When I first started, I was very anxious and self-conscious about being in a university. I was self-conscious about my age and my appearance. And I think I had a lot of ideas about university, the university environment, that probably came from popular culture and that older folks were kind of rare. And I remember telling a friend of mine, I was a bit anxious about it, and he laughed. He says, yeah, what are you going to do? You're 50 years old. You're going to university? He says, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to join a fraternity and try out for the football team? But I found it was a very accepting, inclusive kind of environment.
Can you give me a sense of what some of the day-to-day was like when you were doing the program as a student? Going to the classes, what the kind of rhythm of the day was, what were some of the things you were doing?
I'd go Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'd usually have like a break into small groups, like have a seminar before the lecture, and that was one part I finally got over my anxiety and my shyness in those groups, where we would talk about the reading materials and the topics, and prepare questions for the professor or as a way of better understanding the material. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. Once I felt a little more comfortable, it took about 3 months before I felt confident enough to really participate. Yeah. And yeah, so then we'd have the dinner break, and I was quite impressed with the food at the UVic cafeteria. And then we'd have the lecture, would go for about an hour, hour and a half, and then get back on the bus.
Were there any maybe subjects in particular that you covered that you especially enjoyed?
Yes, picking just one subject is like choosing between my children, but I think it was psychology. During the second term that started in January, we had, I think she was the department head of psychology, Elizabeth Brimcone, gave a lecture on her favorite aspect of psychology, the research she's involved in. And that kind of got me hooked. So when I completed the Uni 101 program, April of 2010, I felt I had enough confidence to start taking some classes at the Commotion College, like university transfer and upgrading courses. So, and then once I had the prerequisites, I took lots of psychology classes at the Commotion College.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that. That was sort of my main passion, and it was such a great opportunity to go there, but I was really grateful for the Uni 101 program. So I started volunteering the following September. That would have been September of 2010. And what I started out was we used to make coffee and snacks and deliver them to the two classrooms. So I did that, and I kind of gave a reverent comment, well, maybe I should be called the food and beverage coordinator, and people laughed, but then it stuck, and it was kind of fun. It would appear on the credits for that are presented at the completion ceremonies. So, and that was fun, and that was challenging. Yeah.
And so doing the program, you maybe sort of like found a passion, and once it was over, you kind of acted on it and took these courses.
Yeah, I just kept going with the education thing and continued as a volunteer, yeah, right up until I became a staff member about 2 months ago. So that was a great honor too.
So this coming school year is sort of your first year being associated with the program as an official staff member.
Yes, yeah. It's quite a big deal. It's actually the first paid employment I've had in close to 20 years. So it's kind of exhilarating in a way. Yeah.
Oh, what are you most looking forward to with the start of each semester? I imagine, you know, doing it as a student and volunteering. How do you think it's going to be different?
It's basically the same format has continued with a few adjustments here and there in the class. But the number one thing is the people, you know, my fellow staff members. And each year, starting tomorrow, we have information sessions for the program at various locations in Victoria. And I really enjoy meeting, you know, new people. And then we have the one class for alumni. And, you know, these are some of these people I haven't seen for quite a while. So it's really great. They'll be meeting new people and then reuniting with old, familiar people. That, for me, is great. Yes.
This is People First Radio. Right now, we're talking about the Uni 101 program at the University of Victoria. It offers free academic courses to people whose economic and social circumstances normally pose obstacles to university education. We were just hearing from former Uni 101 student Craig Ellerman. We'll get back to a little later on in the show. I also spoke with program coordinator Stephanie Sweetnam and program assistant Chloe Wiesenthal. I'm really curious about that idea of sort of trying to build a university program, maybe from the ground up, you know, a long time ago when Uni 101 was started, very intentionally to minimize barriers, to, you know, first come up with what the potential barriers are, and maybe how that program that is born from that process might contrast with like someone's idea of the typical university experience. What is that? It's called Uni 101, which might make you think like the basics, the essential university experience, right? But how is it different from maybe the typical university experience?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that we value lived experience as expertise, which is something that traditional learning environments, especially post-colonialism, don't do. So for example, a student who has been unhoused and living on the street for however many years has a breadth of like amazing knowledge and information that we value just as much as the instructor who comes later in the evening and has a PhD, because it's equally important to us. And we, as facilitators and staff, actively create this collaborative in learning environment where we are learning from students just as much as they're learning from us. And I think that that's also really different. And yeah, we, no marking, no homework. We do have readings, and we also don't pressure people to do the readings because people can get really anxious about that. And so in our seminar sessions, when we're starting the class and preparing for the lecture later, we'll often do exercises that allow students to engage in the material without having read it. And it's really awesome to see them formulate ideas and have amazing questions for the instructor if we just support them and give them the resources that are necessary for them to succeed in this way.
Stephanie, you mentioned that the learning is a two-way process, that students are learning through the program and you are also learning from the students. What are maybe some of the things you've learned that have stuck with you?
I think I told you this when I talked to you previously, Joe, but everything that I have learned that has been of value in my life, I have learned from clients I have served or students that I have gotten to work with. Like, I'm doing a doctorate and I learned some things in school, but let me tell you, I just about how to be in right relationship with people, how to be compassionate, how to be courageous, like these life skills that are so important with this kind of work. I have learned this through caring for and serving the folks that I've been working with my whole life. I don't know. What about you, Chloe?
There is just something so beautiful about being in a space where everyone feels like what they have to say is important. And it is just such a beautiful thing. I'm sorry, I don't have an exact example, but Stephanie hit the nail on the head. It's quite unique. And we've had, you know, I worked at the program part-time when I was in my undergrad, and it was very life-changing for me, the experience I had, experiences I had with students back then, that it made me want to keep doing it. And it also made me change career paths. And I've seen that kind of awe and excitement and humbling from other folks who have either volunteered with us or have, you know, been also where I was, being a work study part-time student staff in the program too.
Uni 101, Uni 102, September all the way through April. There's an alumni course, Uni 201, the following year that people can do. That's a long stretch of time, a big commitment. How do you see maybe the process of being a student in the program? Like, how does that long time stretch? This isn't just, you know, a few weeks. How does that play out? What do you see from that? How do you see students maybe change over the course of that?
I think some of the biggest changes that I've noticed with students over the years is like maybe increased confidence in the value of their knowledge, increased courage when it comes to asking questions or sharing things that they've written when we do creative writing, increased interpersonal skills from being in community with people, eating together, sometimes having disagreements and working through it. And yeah, towards the end of the year, the class is like this little beautiful unit. It's people really come together through learning together. This program changes people's lives. So we've had in our Uni 201 program, our alumni program, the program has been running for about 20 years, but we've had students who've been attending once a week at Uni 201 for like 15 years plus. People keep coming back.
What do you hear from those folks who have been coming back year after year after year about what keeps them coming?
Ooh, I mean, there's so many different things. It really depends on the person. Like, some people come because they love learning. They want to be in as many spaces of learning as possible. And 201 offers that. We have different folks who come in usually for once a month, or for a month, and they come every week. But then there's a lot of people that come because there's big community there. Like some folks like are lifelong friends and have community interlap in Uni 101 and outside of Uni 101. So I don't know, Stephanie, if you had any more to add.
Yeah, I think we very intentionally try to foster a sense of belonging for people. And a lot of our students come in feeling like they don't belong somewhere or that they've never belonged somewhere. And they have these heartbreaking stories of having to be so resilient in the face of life. And, you know, through little things like valuing their knowledge, through eating meals together, through challenging each other and coming out through the other side of it, through creating things like our journal and publishing their works together, little by little, they get a sense of belonging to something. And then I think that's what keeps people coming back.
You're tuned in to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. Uni 101 is a program at the University of Victoria that offers free academic courses to people whose economic and social circumstances normally pose obstacles to university education. Craig Ellerman is a former student who first enrolled in 2009. This year, he's on staff for the first time. Can you tell me about when you were first doing the program as a student? What maybe the class atmosphere was like? Your relationships with other people taking the program, that sort of thing.
It was unique to me. I had never taken like a university transfer course. My education was in forestry, and I guess that was a more traditional classroom environment where basically in that you're as a student receiving the information, you ask questions to clarify the topics, but it's in the Uni 101 thing, I realized right away this is more interactive. You know, we can engage with ask the professor questions and they'll elaborate on that, and the professors, much to my surprise, really welcomed the students' opinions and ideas, as did the staff, too. You know, we were always encouraged to add our opinions to the thing, whereas I felt in the, you know, my high schooling that it was pretty much, I joked later, it was sort of like they were the mother bird feeding the baby birds the information. And then after a couple of months, we kind of regurgitate that onto tests and stuff. So it was quite unique. Yeah, I think that was it. The interactions between there was no real barrier in a way that I'd experienced. So it was quite unique.
And how about between, say, you and your classmates? Were there friendships formed over the course of the program?
Yes. Still the same folks. I see them outside of UVic at various other things, various other programs and activities I'm involved in. And that's really great, you know. And I was quite used to that sort of environment. I lived in very small communities before I came to Victoria, like UQLIT on our west coast, population 1,200. So you just get used to and familiar and kind of want it. You miss it just walking down the street, and you walk one block, you meet at least one person you know. And it's sort of like that me in Victoria. It's, I always see people on the bus or at other locations that I've met as a direct result of being involved in the program. So I'm very grateful for that.
Off the top of our conversation, you were talking about how when you first started doing this program, you maybe had these notions in your head that were maybe formed from like TV or whatever about like, this is what university will be like. What were maybe some of those notions and what was different?
That you would have to address the professor as professor and then their name. That the student body, you know, from all those films, I'm sort of taking a humorous stance here, from the films, particularly in the 1980s, Spring Break and all this. And people are running around half naked and going to Fort Lauderdale and parties and fraternities and this type of thing. There was none of that. The students were very friendly. And I expected it to be more like what I was seeing on television, you know, in movies, yeah, that type of environment.
Do you have maybe like a favorite assignment or something that you did during the program you can tell me about?
Yes, actually, it was a podcast we did, a group of volunteers and some staff members as part of our leadership program that was for volunteers. And we did it, started about 6 months before COVID. And it was really great. We went to workshops and were sort of mentored by the staff and the volunteers at the UVic radio station. And we learned the software tools for editing and recording. And, you know, for a person like me, the last time I worked in audiovisual stuff was like 1982 or something. So I was blown away by the technology. So it was really fun. I got to interview some of the professors who volunteer their time for the program. And then I was very grateful. We managed to keep the program going during COVID, and the podcast was finished right sort of at the first initial outbreak of COVID. So I was very grateful to the staff who somehow managed to edit it together, and we finished all our stuff using what I call Planet Zoom, the Zoom program. Yeah.
And it was all about the Uni 101 program?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. What it's about and our experiences in it. And I thought of it as kind of a beautiful piece of public relations for the Uni 101 program. But it was fun. It was fun for me. It was like a little kid given all these toys to play with, these editing software tools. Yeah.
So right now, the program is open for sort of applications. Intake is open through the end of August. There are going to be information sessions like you've talked about. And I would imagine there are going to be posters going up in various places, like the one you saw back in 2009.
That's right. Yeah. One of my volunteer roles was to, we send out, I call it our program propaganda in a fun way. To about 100 different organizations in the Greater Victoria area, and I used to help out hand delivering some of them and hanging up posters around the UVic campus to publicize the upcoming information sessions. So it kind of came full circle. I went from looking at the poster as a prospective student, and then to actually hanging them up.
What do you think you would say to someone who's maybe going through a hard time like you were at the time about, like, this is why you should check this program out and give it a chance?
Because the program aims to help marginalized folks. That's what it's, you know, people with significant barriers to post-secondary education. And that comes in many forms. But I, right from the start, all my anxieties about my mental health, my appearance, my age, everything, were sort of, they dissipated very quickly because of the environment in the program. They recognized different styles of learning, different ways of learning. And I know a lot of folks, particularly of my vintage, may have had horrible experiences in the public school system. You know, most obviously our First Nations people with the residential schools. It's the most extreme example. But this is a place where it's about empathy and compassion for the students. Yeah.
Is there anything else you think it's important to let people know about the Uni 101 program?
Just that I really love it. It's been a life changer. And I hope that it never ends, or I just keep going till I drop dead, to put it bluntly. So it's been a really wonderful experience for me. And that's about covers it, Joe.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about it.
I'm really grateful, Joe.
This is People First Radio, coming to you on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, on CFMH Local 107.3 FM in St. John, and on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria.
So far on the show, we've been exploring the Uni 101 program at the University of Victoria. It offers free academic courses taught by UVic professors to people whose economic and social circumstances normally pose obstacles to university education. Writing in the Times Colonist on the 10th anniversary of the program back in 2016, a trio of Uni 101 organizers said that too often it is assumed that members of marginalized communities lack the capacity to think about, debate, and research pressing historical and contemporary issues. The authors of that column disagreed, writing that they envisioned a program that would offer community members access to the intellectual mysteries of the humanities, and that would ideally provide an opportunity for its students to participate actively in the production of knowledge about what makes us human. In a 10th anniversary journal, a then Uni 102 student, Bruce, wrote that the program had been an emergence from the bog of despair and a reunion and rekindling of friendship with some old partners. Hope, lightness of being, and compassion. I've been speaking with current Uni 101 program coordinator Stephanie Sweetnam and program assistant Chloe Wiesenthal on today's show. Let's get you back to that conversation. I was reading before this interview a 10th anniversary journal of Uni 101, the Uni 101 program. And at the start, my understanding is that it was located at this downtown campus in Victoria. And then it moved sort of to the main Victoria campus. And a consequence of that, I was reading, was that participants in the program said that they felt this real sense of belonging, that they were students at a university campus in a way that, you know, maybe if when they were doing the program downtown, it didn't have the same, like, ooh, emotional resonance. I don't know. Is that idea of, like, being on campus, belonging there, something you hear from students?
I think there's a feeling that you get on campus in September. You know, there's a hustle and bustle. And so that's really exciting for the students who've always wanted to go to school and haven't gotten the chance. And, like, our students are UVic students, so they get student cards, which is so exciting for them. They love that. And they get to go to the library. And yeah, I think it has taken the student experience to the next level, coming onto campus and being part of the UVic community. And a lot of students have branched outwards to either take courses, other credit courses, or participate in clubs on campus. And that's really awesome to see too.
Are there ways that people within the community can help out, can support the Uni 101 program?
Get the word out about intake sessions and info sessions. That's the biggest way. Let people know about our program.
And I understand for anyone listening in Victoria that you might be looking for TAs as well to help with this upcoming edition of the program.
Yeah, TAs, otherwise known as teaching assistants, are generally UVic students, whether they're an undergrad or graduate or a PhD students who volunteer with us, usually in a facilitating manner, like facilitating small groups, supporting in class. And yeah, reaching out to us via email or on any of our social media, I think, is the best way to get in contact if you want to learn more or if you think you might be interested.
Yeah, and TAs and our work study students all also say the same thing, that their experience with us is really life-changing and eye-opening, and yeah, just changes the way they see the world and other people, but also changes their approach to learning and knowledge.
And also the way that they, like, as someone who was originally a work study, how that changes and can shift their perspective of the institutions, like post-secondary institutions, and their pursuit of education in post-secondary as well.
I'm wondering if there are people who maybe, you know, there's a layer of, I might find it difficult to trust a big post-secondary institution, or I, you know, I just have concerns about the idea of going back to school, either on the end of, like I just mentioned, that like trust in an institution, or a question of like, is this something that would be the right fit for me, that, you know, could I make the commitment to go from September all the way to the end of the semester? What are some of the things you might say to someone to say, come check it out, try it out, give it a shot?
I think that fear is really normal. A lot of our students have that fear. First of all, we encourage people to come to the info session so that they can meet us. I think we are very approachable and person focused. So really focused on how a person is feeling, what is important to them, what their fears are, addressing those fears. And we address those fears in the classroom, like the first few classes. We talk about that, and we talk about what people's bad experiences in schooling have been and why that made them scared to come. But we also talk about resilience and grit and tenacity and what makes people show up scared. And so we kind of like work with it that way. We also have like some of our staff have completed the program. So we have staff who can support folks with the knowledge of the experience of having gone through the program itself. And that can kind of ease the fears a little bit. But I mean, although we are entrenched in the institution and we are a part of UVic, we could not be more different in terms of how we operate, as like we're this little community-based program that exists within UVic, but we operate the way that we have to stay part of that bigger institution because it supports us, but we do things as differently as possible because we want students to have really affirming experiences.
Absolutely. That was so well said. I was also just going to say, Another part of how we support students in eliminating nervousness that may be ingrained from other educational experiences is we mentioned that we do take attendance, but not because we need people to show up all the time. That's just we'll take attendance, and if we notice someone isn't there, we call to check in on them just to see how they are doing. Nothing to do with our expectation of them to come to class. And a lot of folks during the year will be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I missed two classes, I hope I can still be a part of it. And we're like, yes, absolutely, of course. Life is complicated, no worries at all. We just try to, you know, when those conversations come up, to eliminate those types of stressors as well.
A big theme that I'm sensing in this conversation is just the idea of community. And I think all the time in my life these days about when I was in school, and even when I was maybe attending university for the first time, and you had to go to all of these sort of first lectures in these big lecture halls, and someone you'd never seen before and would never see again would tell you how university would be the best 4 years of your life, not necessarily because of whatever you learn, but almost just this idea that you were at a phase of your life where there were all these other students, and you would be meeting people and talking to people in ways that would be maybe harder to do once you had finished with that process. Can you maybe tell me about just the community aspect of this program?
I mean, yeah, like we've mentioned, it's a huge part of what we do. And I think, you know, as Stephanie mentioned before, a huge part of how we create community or strive to have a community of belonging, a community of learning, where people feel reciprocated in what they have to bring. One thing that we say is to bring what you have in abundance. And that just speaks to what Stephanie was mentioning earlier, where the lived experience is inherently valuable and that is shared with everyone. So that allows us to create community.
I think in terms of building community, we hear so many stories about how systems fail the folks that we serve. And so although we don't have the capacity to show up for every single need that students have, we listen, we care, we connect them with whatever resource. Or if it's a fear, we'll talk them through it. Chloe and I meet with students all the time, and or one-on-one if they're struggling. We just give as much care and support to students going through this process as possible. And we do a lot of, other than mealtime, we do like small group work, which really encourages people to make friendships and have like beautiful, vibrant intellectual debates with other people that might spark this lifelong friendship. We really try to like encourage relationship building and conflict resolution. And yeah.
Is that accurate that I'm picking up on like a huge, one of the most, if not the most important part of this program is community? And, you know, what else, if I'm just hammering on that, what else is it also important that is mentioned about like, this is why this program is so good beyond the community?
Really acknowledging, valuing, respecting the knowledge that people come through the door with. And their ways of thinking and their ways of like engaging with new material, just really respecting who our students are as learners and co-learners. Like, I would be happy if students walked away with a feeling of like, not only my experience matters, but like, oh, I'm really smart and I know a lot of things and I ask really good questions. And I'm so curious and I don't know what, you know, versus like, oh, I learned this poem from 1800. It's more like a feeling that we're trying to give people.
That's a really interesting idea. I think, you know, all the time I think I'd be a much better university student if I went back now, because I think there was this tendency sometimes to be like, yeah, I learned this poem from 1800. And boy, could I write an essay about it for the next month. But ask me later and woo. And it sounds like your program maybe goes beyond that. And yeah. Not just goes beyond that, but is like designed from the ground up very intentionally to be different than this model of like, here is a course, here is material we have to learn. We will learn it for the exam, and then, you know, maybe if it gets purged from our minds, or that's just kind of how it goes. That is not Uni 101.
Yeah, and I think part of that is the idea that we can always be growing and changing. Like, a lot of principles of restorative and transformative justice play along to a lot of the values that we have, where, you know, we, as Stephanie mentioned earlier, we will always listen to students, get feedback about everything. And we are always reflecting on what can we do better? Or, oh, we've learned this piece of information. How does that affect what we're doing in this case? And so on, too, which is really nice. And an incredible place to work. Like, what an environment to have when you do the work that we're doing.
Earlier on, I talked about this kind of 10-year anniversary journal of Uni 101, and there were a lot of student testimonials in there. And in a few of them, I noticed students had mentioned like, oh, I saw this leaflet taped to a window somewhere, and that made me decide to check out Uni 101. I know we talked off the top about the information sessions that you have. How do people find out about the program, or how do you reach people, you know, who may have barriers even to accessing, finding out about a program like this?
We show up to places that we assume folks might be using services. So I think Chloe's looking up the info sessions, but we have an active Instagram and Facebook page. So if folks are on social media at all, that's a good way to learn. And we let organizations all over the city know, to let their clients know about what's happening. And I'll leave it to Chloe to tell you about the info sessions.
On Tuesday, August 20th, 2 to 3 p.m., we'll be at Centennial Square. We'll be on the UVic campus outside of the McPherson Library on Thursday, August 22nd, 6 to 8 p.m. And Friday, August 23rd, from 12 to 1 p.m., we'll be at our place. those are the dates we have for this year.
And if folks are able to sign up for the program sort of all throughout August until the end of the month?
Yeah, our applications close on August 30th. People can also access our website, www.uvic.ca/uni101. And there is a link for our online application there.
Is there anything else you think it's important to bring to this conversation to let people know about Uni 101?
Spread the word.
Stephanie, Chloe, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Uni 101 Program Coordinator Stephanie Sweetnam and Program Assistant Chloe Wiesenthal. Applications for the Uni 101 program are open until the end of the month. For more information, you can email uni101@uvic.ca, or you can find the program on Facebook, Instagram, or on the University of Victoria's website.
People First Radio and Media are Vancouver Island Mental Health Society education and awareness programs.
Community integration specialists were the subject of an event in Nanaimo this week. The position is designed to help people experiencing homelessness, mental health issues, and other complex barriers by connecting them to essential services. Community integration specialists might help people with getting ID, accessing income supports, medical supports, or connecting to local community partners. The provincial government is funding up to 195 positions, including 7 in Nanaimo. At the event, BC's Minister of Social Development and Poverty Reduction, Sheila Malcolmson, said that community integration specialists can ideally make things easier for service providers like the Tillicum Laylum Aboriginal Friendship Center, who hosted the event.
I really hope that it lightens the load of the workers that are doing this very important, culturally informed, trauma-informed work, that then they can say, Jackie, what we need you to do is talk with BC Housing about how to get the person on the housing list, or go out and you find the doctor or nurse practitioner or some other kind of medical specialist that can finish the PWD application, and then you can just focus on the people and not on the provincial systems of support. And that's where the specialist part of the job description comes, is that you are a specialist in navigating systems so that people that already have enough to deal with don't have to do that navigation on their own.
With our last bit of time on the show today, I'm going to share an excerpt from a Q&A session held at the event. You'll hear from Jackie Williams, community integration specialist, along with Minister Malcolmson.
We've talked a lot about there are these programs that people aren't accessing, and we're able to connect them with them, and it makes a big difference in their lives. But we also know that a lot of the systems, health, accessing housing, getting on, we're talking a lot about like getting on these wait lists, where we know that once you're on the wait list, there's still months, maybe even years ahead of you to say get a family doctor. Like, once the program connects people to some of those lists, what else can it do?
That's a really good point. I mean, with the family doctor piece that you mentioned, that's a huge struggle in BC right now. Tillicum is able to provide some of those services, and I think it's going unnoticed and underutilized. They have a primary care clinic. So when folks identify that need to me, I'm going to be like, all right, let's go downstairs and talk to the MLA and like get you signed up. Like, being able to use my connections in a positive way that can either help reduce those weights or fill the gap in the meantime.
So I would say, we identified, as we as a government were building back all kinds of supports that were missing when we took government in 2017. Housing, healthcare, childcare, new kinds of medical support. But then we recognized that we also had to return the navigation support to be able to help people get to the new supports we were building up. Identified this specialized support within my ministry. We doubled the numbers of people doing it in 2022, doubled the budget, went from 25 communities to 160. like a huge expansion. At the same time, using what we learn to simplify access systems, but especially as Jackie indicates, finding those workarounds. If somebody doesn't have a family doctor, that cannot be a barrier to them getting on PWD or income assistance. So we find ways to navigate to say, here's another way that you can apply. Here's another clinic that you can go to. And I would say the same thing with housing. We've opened 1,000 affordable housing units in Nanaimo already. We obviously have to do a lot more. We are doing more. We've got another almost 600 underway. But it's that, you know, what's the right person for this right kind of place to minimize the chance of them being evicted, supporting them so that once we help them find that housing, they retain that housing so we don't have that cycle of eviction. And then maybe the final thing I'll say is at a time that we're much more aware of the prevalence of brain injury, that no matter what, that extra navigation support is going to be necessary. And that's why these really compassionate and really effective specialists are really helping people with that dignified care in a trauma-informed way, meeting them where they are. While we continue to expand the supports, the CI specialists continue to navigate.
BC's Minister of Social Development and Poverty Reduction, Sheila Malcolmson, speaking at an event in Nanaimo this week about the government's investment in community integration specialists. That is it for the show today. You've been listening to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. A reminder, you can find the show as a podcast. Just search People First Radio on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or just on the internet. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you can join me again next week.
People First Radio is a community media project of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast partners.